Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. This podcast is dedicated to helping you create a life that sets your soul on fire. I believe that is truly possible for everybody, but you have to be willing to do a few things. You have to be willing to let go of your past conditioning. You have to be willing to break free from societal norms. And you have to be willing to get really curious about your life and how you can start to look at it differently. Each week, we will hear stories from people who have done exactly this. People who chose to disrupt the life path they were on, go against the grain, and share the lessons and perspective shifts they had to make along the way. Every episode is committed to not only inspiring you and connecting you with other amazing humans, but actually giving you the tools that you need to use this information in your own life so that you continue to evolve and reconnect with your highest self. Are you ready? Let's have some fun. Allow me the absolute pleasure of introducing you to Bethany Poots. Bethany assists women in connecting with their ancestors, Mama Gaia, and the healing power of nature. She creates sacred spaces for her clients to safely access and heal core wounds, break cycles for their lineage, and reweave new timelines. Bethany performs ceremonies, activations, and regressions, amongst other techniques, encouraging her clients to take their healing into their own hands. As a powerful ancestral guide, Bethany's energy is steeped in ancient wisdom. She also incorporates her love of channeling stones and earth energy for an extra dimension to her client's experience. We have so much fun in this episode talking about all things ancestral healing, and I even had a huge revelation on the show about how a session with her impacted my own journey and was the catalyst of a lot of the growth and healing that I have been going through over the last few months. And make sure that you tune in into the very end to learn about a very special project she put together specifically for the Evolve Beyond Limits family. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. All right, welcome back to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm so excited to have Bethany Poots here with us today. We are going to be talking all about the nitty-gritty of ancestral healing and all kinds of fun stuff that we're going to get into. But before we do that, I just want to, first of all, welcome you to the show, Bethany. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Yay. And then I also want to do a few rapid fire questions in the beginning just to give the audience an opportunity to get to know you a little bit. And then just for us to have a little bit of fun to start the show. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. First one, really easy. Where did you kind of grow up and where are you living now?
So I grew up in Southern Michigan. Really, you could have thrown a rock across the state line into Indiana from where I grew up. So right at the border.
So we were one of those people who was blessed to be on the right side of the border.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm also from Michigan. And so, you know, it's always a joke between Michigan and Ohio. We have some family who lives in Ohio. So we just like to poke as much fun as we possibly can.
Absolutely. Yes. I grew up what I consider to be the right side of the border.
I love it. And then where are you at right now?
Now I'm in Northern Georgia. So I managed to find my way to north of Atlanta, and I just absolutely love it.
Amazing. We just moved to Greenville. So we are in the same boat. We're like, oh my gosh, why did we live in Michigan for so long?
You know, I really enjoy four seasons. So I do enjoy seeing the snow. Mm-hmm. That gray season that Michigan gets in February, like the slush season, mm-hmm. I don't enjoy so much. So I've determined that really now, if I can visit snow and then choose when to say goodbye, that it's, you know, much better. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. And I think the gray season of Michigan is oftentimes about 6 months. Like that was like something Andrew and I talked about. We were like, we have got to get, like, it's so gloomy. Like, I can handle the cold. I can even handle the snow. But like, the gloominess is just brutal. So I am glad to be in the very similar area as you. It's just so lovely here. Okay, where is your favorite place that you've traveled?
Ooh, favorite place that I've traveled outside the US is going to be London.
Okay.
And I had, you know, I think the ancestors had started kind of tapping on my door a little bit at the time that I visited there. I had the most surreal feeling when I touched down and like stepped off the plane of like, I'm home. My whole body exhaled and I was like, what is this? I've never been outside of the US. What is going on here with this? I'm home. It was wild.
I love that. I love that. I feel like I'm being drawn towards like Scotland, like that area a lot.
Yes. That is very much showing up for me right now. Scotland is knocking on my door and that part of the lineage is very much waking up and saying, there's something to be explored here. Pay attention.
I love it. I love it. Okay. London. So fun. What is one thing that's on your bucket list right now?
Ooh, man. Bucket list. Scotland definitely is on the bucket list. That needs to be explored. But as far as opportunity, I think going and doing like a sweat lodge kind of a experience.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend. I have a very funny story about a sweat lodge that I'll have to tell you at some point, but I literally thought I did everything in my power to not go to this thing. Like I thought I was going to die. I don't like to be in a sauna. First of all, I don't like to be super hot. I don't also like to be very cold. So I like to be the perfect temperature apparently. But it was like, it wasn't like that. It was just this feeling. And the thing about a sweat lodge, I highly recommend them, is because essentially the essence of it is that you go in and you're leaving and you're going to leave a part of yourself behind. You're going to leave a part of your ego behind and you're kind of reborn from that process. And it's almost like this fear that I knew a part of me was going to die. And I don't know that I was like ready to give it up even though, and it was like, I did everything. I mean, I texted my husband and was like, I'm really scared, thinking that he'd be like, don't do it. And he was like, just go for it. He totally Stacey'd me. He was like, he goes, just another opportunity to get uncomfortable or like comfortable in the uncomfortable. And I was like, shut up. Like, I don't need that right now. So then I text my mentor out in Sedona, and like really good friend. And I was like, I'm about to do this thing. I'm kind of freaking out. And she's like, you're going to love it. You love new experiences. And I'm like, can someone please tell me not to go? But I couldn't get out of it. It ended up being an amazing experience. So highly, highly recommend doing something like that. I did it down when I was in Costa Rica, but you know, you can find them.
So. Oh, that's so funny.
It was wild, like wild. Okay. So what is one thing that just brings you a lot of joy? Like what?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Pizza brings me a lot of joy. It's a love language for me.
Like, are you like a pizza connoisseur? Is there a certain type of pizza that you like? All pizza?
Okay. You're going to appreciate this, being from Michigan and being about the same age as me. Do you remember Donato's?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So never mind. Donato's was one thing that brought me joy, but they went away. No, I have homemade pizza. Mm-hmm. I love to make it, have the pizza stone. I'm constantly fussing with crust recipes and, you know, I think this is going to be like the perfect one. And of course my husband is all too willing to be the taste tester and the guinea pig. And
I love it. We do so many pita pizzas. Like we make pita pizzas at home constantly, like at least once a week, if not multiple times a week, we are eating pita pizzas. So I can appreciate you. You were so quick. You were like pizza. It's definitely pizza.
Absolutely.
I love it. Okay. Last one. What was your favorite thing to do when you were a kid?
Be outside. Making mud pies, really, or like I used to make little magic potions, you know, go around and like pick little like flowers and little herbs and little. The best was when we did 4th of July and we had one of those pillar candles that we would light the fireworks off of. And inevitably there would be wax on the back deck and I would get wax scrapings to add to my little potions and be able to do all sorts of things with those. I thought that made it like extra magical.
Oh, I love that. Just the innocence of our kid-like nature is so fun to sometimes go back and just remember those times. And how fitting for the conversation that we're about to have. So let's dive in. Can you just tell us a little bit about ancestral healing and maybe kind of like how you found some of that? And then also, like, why is it so important to our growth and evolution to tap into this particular form of healing?
Absolutely. I would love to. So the ancestors really kind of found me. They were knocking on my door and they were sending me little signs long before I ever kind of acquiesced and said, okay, I give up. We'll go down this path. All sorts of like little knowings and little signs were popping up. And then finally, I started down the path of very much almost a medicine woman, kind of a feeling like bringing together the love of herbs and the outdoors, the love of earth medicine, the love of essential oils and things like that. And it was very much like, okay, well, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. And then when I dug a little bit deeper, I realized that it was actually the ancestors that were bringing this forward as like, here are tools that you can use, but what we actually want you to do is dive into the ancestral healing and removing traumas from family lineages. And so when I started down that path, so many things just kind of popped up, synchronicities, events, you know, people landed in front of me, the right conversations. And so I started, really, it started out with Reiki. But it was Reiki where I was seeing past events. I was seeing things in either early on in like childhood trauma kind of thing, or in past lives that when I released that, various members of clients' families would react differently to them. And when I got the feedback from the clients, I realized that what I was doing was actually stepping into ancestral healing and releasing traumas that had kind of like permeated the bloodline. And what makes that really important is when we are reliving the path and the traumas and the stuck energy of our ancestors, then we basically spend our life kind of in a loop and we can't get out of it and do what we came here to do. We can't tackle our life plan as effectively if we are constantly in the stuck energy of, you know, financial insecurity is one that I use as an example quite often. And my grandparents lived through, you know, depression era. So financial insecurity was definitely something that was ingrained in them, in my mom, you know, she passed it down to me. And so when we can kind of get beyond that and be able to use our resources to, you know, spread joy far and wide, get out of the loop of financial insecurity, then it allows us to be able to do what we came here to do. And there's so many other scenarios.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I think that this is a very, we're going to continue like kind of diving into that particular conversation because it is, I think there's so many people who don't realize that a lot of our patterning is generational and it has been passed down through our DNA and we get to change it, right? Like yes. It doesn't mean that you are, I think it's really easy to let go of the personal responsibility and say, well, that's just like, I was just given this, right? Like I was just given this burden to bear and there's nothing I can do about it. But the reality is if it's coming up in your realm and when you make a conscious choice to heal it, then you get to break that generational, you know, lineage for everybody involved, which is really, really cool. Now, okay, I know that there's going to be people who, because I'm asking it, and that are going to want to know, like, give me an example, because you said I was being dripped signs and like different things all the time. Can you give me an example of like what is one or two of those things that kind of were like, now looking back, you see it as, you know, your ancestors kind of tapping on your shoulder saying, hey, maybe this is things. But like, I think people like to know, like, what does that mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, the most common sign that I think people run into are little clues that we leave ourselves in our life. So, like for example, you know, when the plane touched down in London and I had the feeling of like, I've been here before, familiar home kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the ancestors kind of tapping on me saying, remember, like, this is part of your DNA. Various little ties to, Wales or Scotland or, you know, things like that, where it's kind of like them calling me back, might pop up in people's life. The most startling one for me was when like premonition and, really kind of like a knowing would drop into my body. And I was out walking. I used to work in an office building that was like right across the street from a nature trail. And luckily in this area of North Georgia and Atlanta, there's a lot of nature trails and a lot of like, you know, walkways that are through the woods. And we're very fortunate to be able to have that. So I would go at lunchtime and walk on this path. And my favorite path, you know, I kind of started towards it one day and it was just like this. It was almost like an inner voice. It was like, stop, don't go that direction. Choose a different path. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, what is this? Am I making this up or whatever? But it was very much like a feeling of don't go that way. Okay, fine. So I chose a different path. And in about the amount of time that it would have taken me to get from the point where I had that feeling to, you know, onto my normal pathway, all of a sudden, this gigantic crash, the ground shook and a tree had fallen over the path that I normally took. And I calculated it out and figured that I would have been basically right where that tree was when it fell down, had I ignored the call and gone that direction. And it was just like, okay, there's something here. Whoever that voice was.
Yeah. And like, I think that it's so fascinating because, so I actually just did a podcast recorded one on the splenic authority in human design and our splenic center and how tied it is to our body wisdom and how it literally speaks in these tiny whispers. And it's almost like our, and what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's almost like this, like there's so much to our body wisdom, and this is where we hold a lot of this. We're communicating constantly with nature around us, with our ancestors, with our guides, like the angels, all the things, because it's all within us, right? And I can say from my point of view, like just listening to you talk, I'm like, okay, so my big one is Egypt. Mm. Like never have I been to Egypt, but whenever I meditate, for the longest period of time, I always went to some sort of pyramid. And then your eyes start to draw to certain things. You get like,
yes,
almost like you're drawn to it and you don't necessarily know why, but from what I'm hearing you say is just kind of trust that you're drawn to it, that it fascinates you, that there's something about it that you're just like, oh, I just want to know more, or I want to experience this, and yes, let yourself have some fun following that.
Absolutely. If you are drawn to it, there is a reason why.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. So fun. So, okay. I have another question because obviously, I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to be listening to this podcast. We're dedicated to personal growth, to evolution, to all the things. How do we know when something is like our own personal healing that we're just kind of like moving through compared to something that has been like passed down from generation to generation? Like, how do you kind of distinguish between what might be ancestral and like compared to just like something we're working through in this lifetime or whatever that looks like?
That's such a great question. So for me, the way I kind of describe it is if it's something that feels like it's not quite yours, but you feel like you are kind of like stuck in it, that is probably going to be ancestral. And if it's something that appears to echo in generations, you know, some of us are fortunate enough to be able to know our parents, knew our grandparents. Some may even have contact with like great grandparents kind of thing. So if you can see the echoes of that in the different generations, then that is more likely to be ancestral trauma as well.
No. So it's almost like what you were saying in the beginning or just a little bit ago about recognizing the patterning that we see in like so many of us. And when I talk to clients and different things, it's like, okay, what we can see it in ourselves, but then we choose to look and we can see it either in our, like in our mom or our dad, or we see it in our grandparents in some way, shape or form. And we just start to see, you know, it's kind of funny because we were talking about financial insecurity. And one thing that I recognized in my, from my dad's side that I never saw this before, but I realized that my grandma, she always played the lottery. Like she always played the lottery, right? My dad plays the lottery. And I realized that I had this almost belief, or so to say, this is the way that I took it anyways, that money just falls out of the sky. Like you can't change it unless it happens to you, right? Like unless something like magically happens and you win the lottery, you don't have the ability to change your financial future, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is kind of what was like demonstrated, was like, it is the way it is unless something externally changes your situation for you.
Right. Unless the gods shine fortune on you. You're just kind of where you are.
Right. Which is like, so not my, like if I were to look at myself, I would say in every aspect of my life, I believe that we can shape and shift and transform and evolve where we're at with personal responsibility. Like we get to be in control of that. But there is like this glimmer that I realized that subconsciously, this is a pattern that I had watched unfold. Mm-hmm. And so until I'm aware of it, I wasn't able to really do anything about it.
Absolutely. Yes. It can live in the background. I mean, it can kind of like hum along almost under the radar, but you're still kind of living through it, right? Until you bring it to the foreground and really tackle it.
Yeah. And you know, I always think about the fact that like, it's imperfect timing. So to say like I'm right on time, right? Like I wasn't meant to maybe see that until right in that moment because I needed to learn some other things first or whatever. But going back to why this is so important to your personal growth and evolution is like, we have to be able to see this patterning and be like, oh, mom's like that. Oh, grandma's like that. Oh, well, maybe I get to be the one that shifts this story, that transforms this within our bloodline, within our DNA. And my question for you is, because I think for a lot of people, that feels like a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Because change is not easy. Breaking a generational pattern is no fucking joke, right? Like it's not for the faint heart, because you do have to break through this. So how would you recommend that somebody is able to take this and not feel like it's a burden, but look at it more as a gift?
Yeah, it takes some kind of teasing apart sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's a little step at a time, right? It's not just going to be like, okay, today we are breaking ancestral patterns. And then after that, we're free.
But why not?
Yeah. I mean, if you can do that, please call me because I really would like to have a conversation with you and maybe like pick your brain a little bit.
We'd make so much fun.
But like, and we can make it fun. So like the thing that really kind of like popped into my head as you were asking the question is, again, you know, financial insecurity and like this idea that we only have like one of something, so we have to take care of our things was a theme throughout our my childhood. So like, I remember coloring books that were largely uncolored because like, if you colored it, then it was done. Right. So like, we have to take care of our things. I was never allowed to paint my bedroom. My parents built a home when I was like 5 and all the walls were the same cream colored. We could never paint them. We could never personalize our room because of resale value, right? Mm-hmm. They're still in that home today. They don't ever plan on selling that thing. It's uh-huh. still to this day, the walls are the same color. And so that, you know, like things like that, I remember getting a chemistry set. And I was like, oh, if I use all the chemicals, then it'll be, I mean, it just like almost this life of like gripping. Mm-hmm. And so breaking out of that cycle of the ancestral energy that lives in there for me is playing, is personalizing my environment, is putting colors on the walls, is, you know, doing all that sort of stuff. And so I actually kind of broke out of that cycle when I got my first house and went a little nuts. Like I had a bright yellow hallway. I had a bright red, like just so many colors everywhere before the pendulum kind of then came back to center. And so now there's colors on the wall, but they're much more neutral. So I had to kind of like, you know, explore that and break out and then kind of bring it back to center. To be able to find my way out of that pattern.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've noticed this too in my own. I think this is really normal to the pendulum swing. The pendulum swing is really normal where you go from realizing that you're acting one way. And then, you know, I usually say that people, I notice that for most people, they either act exactly like their parents or they're the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. And it's like something that you didn't love about the way that they did something. A lot of times we'll completely pendulum swing. And then, and this actually happened with my mom. Again, it was around finances and she tends to be a little, and it's funny because listening to her, like she was taught that you never lend anybody anything because you're lucky if you get it back. And if you do get it back, it's going to be in worse shape than you lent it to them in. And it was like, and like spending money was like, she didn't just like freely spend money. She'd spend money on stuff, but then like she would, you know, you went and picked up milk and she would be like, or she would, you know, she'd be like, well, how much do I owe you? I'm like, it's milk. Like I don't need to pay you back for milk. But like I realized that. And so in my own life, I like wouldn't ask anyone for money, right? Okay. So running a business doesn't really work very well when you can't ask people for money, right? Because it was like, I didn't want anyone to ever feel like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where it was like I was nitpicking or I was, you know, like, whatever it was. So like, I was the total opposite. And then I had this moment, as I think we all do, where you realize that this way, this side of the pendulum isn't great. The other side isn't great, but there is this middle ground that is harmonious, that a lot of the things that the way that my mom treats money, I used to blame her for not blame, but like a lot of it was blame. Like I would blame her for everything. Like I was like, gosh, this is why I am the way I am. But I was like, no, she has a lot of really amazing qualities in the way that she handles money. And like, she's been able to help me and like our family out in situations where we needed help with things because of the way that she handles money. Like there's so many beautiful things. But it's like I had to pendulum swing to be like, no, I want nothing to do with that, to then come back to this like beautiful middle ground and be like, you know what? She actually has a lot to offer. And there's certain ways that I want to be around money. So like for me, my big thing is if something is under $50, I'm not going to ask you to pay me back or to like split it with me or whatever. But if it's over, like I've had to create these rules.
Sure.
That allow me to take the pressure off, but also keep it in balance. If that makes sense. So
absolutely. I mean, you create the rules that you're comfortable with for how you want to operate going forward, mm-hmm. but also how you don't want to operate from, you know, coming out of that childhood experience. And there's one thing that you said that I just want to touch on. You mentioned that your mom has a lot of gifts around how she operates with money. Mm-hmm. And so often I feel like we focus on the ancestral trauma, the, you know, the terrible, the, that sort of thing. There are ancestral gifts as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, somebody who is really a talented artist, that artistic talent can be passed down. Somebody who's gifted with money, who's creative, who's, you know, so many gifts are out there. And those, a lot of times, I feel like don't get embraced quite to the point as, you know, we end up focusing on like the trauma and just the, ugh, I don't really want this. I'd rather, you know, move on to something else.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're so right. And there is so much to be taken. Because yeah, I do. I think we're just like we live in a time, and we've kind of been taught this for the longest time, that we're something broken that needs to be fixed. And so we're looking for the breaks, right? We're looking for that rather than the bandages and the things that we have. I was actually talking to my mom, because she always would say to me, like, I don't know where you came from. Like, cause I'm so different than they consider me very different than my mom, my dad, my sister in the way that I operate. And I'm like, are you guys like, how do you not see? My mom is like 100%. She is an animal whisperer. Like she has swans as pets pretty much, which like people aren't really supposed to get close to swans, and they eat out of her hand, and she's got squirrels that, and she's just like, I'm like, you are such a, like that is so much part of your gift. And I've gotten parts of that, and I'm so glad. And my, like my sister is like a little gnome. Like she just travels about amongst the trees, and she loves to be out in the middle of nature, and she loves to, you know, pick mushrooms and do all these different things. Like she's such a medicine woman in that essence. And then my dad just has, you know, he's also has so many gifts of being outside, being outdoors, being just like in it. Like he speaks to the earth and he lets it speak back. And he just has these, he's the core, like he's the ethics values guy, right? Like he just makes sure, like he just believes in doing the right thing. And he holds people to that standard. And I think it's just so easy to pick ourselves apart. And then look at our parents and our grandparents and different things and be like, ah, like, why did I have to get this? But then it's also, can we flip the script?
Mm-hmm.
And say, yes. Wow, how grateful am I that I got this?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually think this is a whole other conversation to have. But I actually think that we kind of plan this, you know, we pre-plan for the family, for, you know, what we want to experience, what we want to grow and evolve in this lifetime. And so there is a part of picking the family that we want to belong to. And something that you said early on, like, where did you come from kind of attitude with your family? Typically, that's the sign of a generational breaker, you know, breaker of the trauma, breaker of cycles, breaker of like all the things that have come before.
Mm.
It's somebody that the family looks at and says, where did you come from? How do you fit into this puzzle?
What? How? Why? Like all of the things. I think that is it. It is just a really kind of a fun thing, and I'm with you. I do think it's a. I mean, it's part of this conversation too, though. Is there is that essence out there and that belief out there, whether you want to subscribe to it or not, is fine. But that we. we know what we're getting ourselves into until mm-hmm. we're born, and then we forget it all. And then we get to go through life. And it's funny because, again, there's two pieces of this that I, from my understanding, one piece is to clear karma, right? Like the fastest way to clear karma between people, throw them in a household together and see what happens, right? Like, you're gonna have to deal with your shit at some point, or maybe not. It depends on who you are. But then there's that other piece, like you said, and I always try, I'm not a parent myself, but I always try to remind parents that, like, we picked you because you have a set of, like, because of who your soul is, we knew that you were going to help us get through and go through the growth and evolution that we wanted to go through. And so it wouldn't matter if you were the most perfect parent on earth, you're going to fuck us up because we asked for it, right? Like, we need, like, cause we need to grow. We need to do that. But also, we picked you for a reason because we knew you could hold us through it and help us with whatever lessons we wanted to move through.
Yes. Yes. There's actually, this is reminding me of a story in it's a book on ancestral healing and kind of like how it relates to the life planning. And the idea was that the soul said, I want it to be easy. I want my parents to love me. I want it to be easy, you know, all this sort of stuff. So he was given like everything growing up. The parents never said no, left him this fortune, but then he didn't know how to like struggle his way out of the cocoon, right? He didn't know how to do these things for himself. So then he went out on his own, got married, ended up, he loved gambling. And in order to pay like $100 gambling debt, he would sign over the deed to like property buildings, apartment buildings, things like that, that his parents had left him. And so before, you know, too long, the vast fortune was gone. And then he was crying because like, why didn't the parents set him up for success? And so it's just, it's all right. It's all in how you look at it. Like
perception.
Yeah, absolutely. The things that seem easy to begin with may actually be causing issues down the road.
And vice versa. You know, I think that's like the thing too, is that, you know, some people have really hard starting out points, right? And they grow and they evolve so much. Maybe at the beginning of their life, they do a lot of their healing, or maybe they don't, but they go through a lot of their experiences, so to say. They get a lot of their imprints, their trauma is really there. But later on, because they've chosen to work through it and they've kind of had this, they go on to just like flourish, right? In so many ways. And then for some of us, I feel like it happens more midlife. For some people, it happens way later. But like the reality is, the only thing constant in life is change. It's the growth, it's the evolution. And so like, we're always going to be evolving regardless of how easy it seems somebody has it or not, or your perception of what your life has been. We're all going to go through stuff that we need in order to get to, you know, through whatever we wanted to get through in this lifetime.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many times that I think, oh my gosh, you know, so-and-so's life must just have it all, right?
Yeah.
And then you kind of get an opportunity to peek behind the curtain and it turns out I actually wouldn't trade at all. Nope. Things are going pretty okay here. And I actually think that we leave ourselves clues. Actually, this relates to human design.
Perfect.
In kind of our life map, in some of our charts and things like that, I think that we do leave ourselves clues for, is this going to be maybe bumpy up front? Is this, you know, where are we going to kind of get some bumps? And I'm a 6'2".
Same.
And I didn't really know anything about the 6 line until probably 4 months ago. And somebody made the comment of like how the trajectory of a 6 goes. And I felt that I was really kind of floundering in my early life. Like up until 30, I was just like, I don't know. you know, I'd try different things. And once they explained to me what the six actually is all about, it was like, oh, well, I'm right on the right path. Like, I'm on target. Things are good.
Yeah. And for anybody who's listening, the six is, it's the triphasic life is what she's talking about. And like for sixes, if you have a six in your human design profile, the first 30 years of your life are literally trial and error. They're like, dip your toe in, pull it out, go here, do this, go there. Like you're just so much experimentation and you gain a lot of wisdom through your experiences up until 30. And then 30 to 50, you kind of withdraw. You do a lot more inner work. You do, it's just more like you're more in observation mode. You're not trying necessarily as many things. Like it's very easy for you to kind of pull back from the world. And then 50 on is like your role model stage. And that's the third part where you, all the wisdom that you collected up until 30, plus all the observation and wisdom that you've collected, you like kind of present yourself back into the world, as a very unique person that like you've done it the, like nobody else has done it the way that you've done it. So yeah. I remember feeling that too. When I learned that about my six, I was like, oh, thank God. I thought I was so broken. Like, I was like, why can't I stick with anything? I've been a nurse. I've been this, I've started six businesses. Like what is going on here? So I love that you brought that up.
So, I had the flounder phase. I had the hermit phase, which I'm still kind of hermiting a little bit, but starting to come out. And I feel like phase three for me is going to be called the sage. So kind of interesting.
That. I love that you're claiming it.
Yeah. And my business name kind of ties into that. So I feel like little, you know, I'm getting little signs ahead of time.
Makes total sense. Okay. So I just have a couple more, questions. So one is what, because, you know, there's going to be people who might be listening or they might hear something like this and they might instantly be a little bit resistant to it or, which I think we've experienced through a lot of things, but, what is one thing you wish more people like understood about ancestral healing or even maybe a common misconception that people have about this work, or both?
I think a common misconception is that you basically have to turn your life upside down, you know, put it on pause, turn it upside down. The analogy I use is like drag everything out of the closet and look at it in order to be able to do ancestral healing. You don't have to clear everything out, spread it all over. You don't have to take time out of your life. You don't have to go into the desert for, you know, 3 months or whatever. Like you don't have to do that. You can do it in little nuggets and little bits over time. And I think that another misconception is that, that you're doing it alone. And so what really happens is as you start to, you know, heal little nuggets, as you start to understand, oh, I'm responding to, you know, X situation because that was something that was passed down. That was something that was kind of ingrained because of a trauma that happened further up the family line. Then as you sort that out and start to act differently, the people around you will start to respond differently to you. And so it's not just that you show up one day as like, oh, you know, I'm Bethany. I no longer have ancestral trauma. Nice to meet you kind of thing. And your family has to relearn how to work with you. It's like little bits over time. And so as you release something, maybe how your interactions with your mom go, start to get a little bit different. Maybe the way that, you know, she talks about money starts to get a little bit different and you're kind of going, oh, well, that's weird. Mom didn't have ancestral healing. I did, but this conversation seems to be taking a different form than it would have before. And so I, you know, a lot of clients that I talk to are like, oh my gosh, it was the wildest thing. Actually, This is a great example. So I had a client that I released a lot of anxiety, a lot of just people pleasing and very kind of nervousness from. Mm-hmm. And her daughter had been very anxious in high school and just kind of like tense. And about 3 days after my client's session, she was talking to her daughter and just like, hey, how are things going with you? You know, how have you been lately? And her daughter just out of the blue made the comment, you know, it's weird, but the last couple of days I haven't felt as anxious. It's like everything is just going a little bit easier. You know, everything's going smoother. Now, the impact of the client session on the daughter was definitely felt, you know, over that period of time. But the daughter didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't like she was like, oh, well, thank God mom had ancestral healing. Now I feel better. It was she just feels lighter. She doesn't know why. It's like it lifted, you know?
It's so funny because I love that you're bringing this up because I feel like this is the last 5 years of my life plus, right? Like it's like you're saying, you don't just show up as a new person. And you know, so it's funny because when I work with people, sometimes they'll say like, I wish that I could just go hide in a house and do this work and like not talk to anybody. And I'm like, yeah. And then it wouldn't be real because you're going to get slapped in the face when you walk into a relationship of some sort. That like you have to learn, we don't go through life alone. And therefore, if you try to do this work almost in a bubble, you're doing yourself and people around you more harm than good, right? Like, it's just like, we still have to interact. We have to learn how these things impact one another. And you do see that. I say it all the time that my relationship with my parents, my husband, really just my relationships in general are the thing in my life that I am the most proud of. And I am the most proud of them, not because they started out amazing, but because of the work that I have done, that they have done, that it has opened doors for us to do together. I get to have conversations that I never would have dreamt of having before. We interact different, like, and you start to notice these little behavior changes. And I've even been doing, about 6 weeks ago, I started some EMDR therapy for some things that I've gone through in my life. And just even in that 6 weeks, I am seeing shifts, little things that are happening in my family. And like, I'll talk to my mom about, you know, like what we talked about. And she's like, I feel like I'm talking to you're talking to me. Like, I feel like you're, and that's like another thing that can be really healing is when you start to talk and be honest and be open and vulnerable about what you're discovering. And my mom's like, holy crap. Like, I do that, or I have that, you know, and it's kind of, it almost is like, oh, well now we get to work through it together and you can kind of laugh at it and you can, find like the gift in it, I guess then. And just, so I love both of those so much.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. A little while ago, I actually identified that I was holding myself back from receiving energetically on a number of levels.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Right?
If only there was a magic wand for that. But the suggestion,
all you ladies listening, I'm sure 90% of you have.
So true. So true. The suggestion that was given to me was let your husband in a little bit more. Because I had been kind of modulating what I shared with him. Mm-hmm. About my business, about, you know, what I'm learning, you know, all that sort of stuff. Let him in a little bit more. It will allow the receiving to be able to open up. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to be like, no, this is weird. And the more I've started to share and the more I've started to, hey, do you want to see what I'm working on? Hey, let me show you this. The more he's leaned in, he's like, oh, well, what's that? Well, how does this work? Well, you know, what do you have going on over here? What does this look like? It's just, it's amazing. It's like, oh my gosh.
And it's like all the things you've been like looking for. And I remember that too. Like when I started doing some of this work and I would share with my parents, and I feel very blessed like to have parents who are interested. But then I also realized, I was like, but I never hid it from them. Like, I would be like, oh my gosh, the craziest thing happened. Let me do this energy session on you. Let me do this. And they're like, okay. Like, they just kind of were like, okay. And now they're like, oh, Stacey went on another trip. I cannot wait to hear what crazy shit she like went, like happened or came up or whatever that looks like. And so part of it is just realizing that the only way to, you have to let people in, you have to be willing to put yourself out there. And yeah, some people are going to be like, no, thanks. I want nothing to do with these conversations, but that's not on you. But it's like, give them an opportunity to come along if you want to. And my husband and I have been the same way. And it's, I noticed that the times that it's the most potent is when I'm not trying to prove something to him. I'm not trying to convince him of something. I'm not trying to present something to him in a way that I think he's going to understand. I just share my heart. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Or like, I'll hear him, you know, like, something I talked to him about, and next thing I know, like in the next meeting he's in, he's like talking about it, you know?
Yes. I remember when I started telling him about like organic, like, oh, you know, I'm going to buy organic, whatever. And he wasn't really sold until he started tasting the difference. And then I would overhear him telling his buddies about, oh no, really, you need to be buying organic food. That's where it's at.
And it is, it's like, it's the show, don't tell. And this is the piece that I think so many people get really lost on, especially when they start going down, you know, any type of healing or self-development or whatever. They want to tell everybody what to do. They want to tell everybody what's best for them. Like, they're like, well, you should be doing this, this, and this. And it's like, people don't care until they see a change in you. Then they will want to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Let them ask, right? Like, you can share things that you're doing, but it's sharing your personal experience. You're not sharing what you think is best for them, right? Like, man, you should really do some work. But you know, it's just like, and I think, and people get really frustrated when they're going through this type of work because they're like, well, I'm changing and all the people around me are just obnoxious. And like, and it's just, and they get really bent out of shape. Like, well, they're not growing with me. They're not even trying. And I'm like, but for most people, when they get around the people that they're talking about, they revert to their old self. They revert yes. back to those patterns. And so people are looking at them going, you're no different than you've ever been, but now you just seem to think you're pretty high and mighty.
It's so true. Oh yeah. I go back home to my parents' house and the teenage version, you know, it's like, why am I doing this? What is, where's this coming from? Yeah. It's so wild.
It is. And then you get to kind of laugh at it. And sometimes it's like, just share it. Andrew and I joke all the time that I'm like, ooh, I see the, like, this is little Stacey. Like, little Stacey's pissed right now. She does not like, she feels very unheard. And, but you can, and you said this in the beginning, and I think it's important to come back to it, is like, you guys, this work gets to be fun. You get yeah. to have joy. And like, for me, we have to be able to laugh through it. Like, it's become a joke in our house that on Wednesdays, I have therapy on Wednesday morning. Usually Wednesday morning, I'm fine. Wednesday afternoon, I'm fine. By Wednesday night, I'm having some sort of meltdown. Like, I'm like, Andrew, you should probably just leave on Wednesdays because like, there's just like, it takes a minute for it all to come up. But can we just laugh at it and just be open and be like, we're human. Like, we get to have these experiences and we're not always going to get them right. And but we're doing the best we can. And if we're Absolutely. Trying, that's good enough.
Absolutely. But I mean, doesn't it make it more fun that way? If it's like, you know, like, hey, Andrew, you should probably plan something because, you know, it's going to be crazy time Wednesday night, rather than like falling into that mode and then being like, why? Like, why don't you understand me? Right?
Right.
It's way more fun to just be like,
give them the roadmap, man. Like sometimes it's like, you know, take me on a date, go take me to a winery, like take me somewhere that is going to be like fun, because if you let me wallow, things are going to get out of hand. And I just think it's so funny to see that. And I genuinely believe I would have quit this work a long ass time ago if I didn't have so much fun with it. Like I do, like, yes, there are hard moments, and I got a therapy last week and I was like, ooh, that I saw this thing and this is very sad to me. It's very sad that this is how I operate. And then I was like, but what a gift, because now I get to change it. I don't have to operate that way. And it was just like, we just get this opportunity to make it fun. And if you don't, you will give up because it's too heavy. Like, and I think that's an unfortunate thing that's kind of happened in the last little bit, is that it's just become like this heavy, like you said, life consuming thing. Like, no, we get to do it alongside of life and we can have fun with it.
Absolutely. And especially if you look for the fun, if you look for the signs and the symbols. And I have to tell you this. So during your session, because we did a Meet the Ancestors session with you a little while ago. So I was in the middle of leading you through this meditation, and all of a sudden I look up and there's like this tiny little like half inch spider on top of my monitor. And I was like, okay, spider medicine, I see you. You must have a message for Stacy. This is cool. So I picked up my phone. So I'm still like in the meditation, guiding you through. I pick up my phone to try to take a picture so that I could be like, oh, spider medicine. Yeah. And in that time, the thing like was one of those jumping ones, and it like jumps at me. I was like, okay, how do I keep this together and keep the meditation going and keep focused? And meanwhile, spider medicine is like, no, I'm coming for you. I was just like, okay, noted. You're here to give me a message. Got it.
But
if we don't look for the fun in that, if it's just like, wah, and allow yourself to get carried away with it, and then don't look for, I think spirit has a hell of a sense of humor. I just really think that sometimes they're like, watch this.
Yeah, like, let me see what I can do here. So actually, this is really fascinating. And this just came up for me because I didn't even realize it. So you guys, this is the power, like go get a session with Bethany. This is the power of doing this work though, is that it doesn't often, so many times people are looking for this, this aha moment, or they're looking for this big kapow. Like we call it, like Amy, you know, Amy, my friend, Amy, she said we're going to make a t-shirt that says this work is not onomatopoeia. Like it's not this like kaboom, pow, bam moment. Like, and if you're looking for that, then you're going to be disappointed because it's not the way that it works. So I had a session with Bethany 7 weeks ago,
eight. Something like, it's been a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe 8 weeks ago. And that was when I was back in Michigan. And I was staying in the RV, and I was with my parents, and this big familial, thing, trauma had come to a head. Mm-hmm. And it was coming to a head on this trip, and it actually came to a head drastically after that session. And I did not even put this together until right this moment, because it was in all of that, that I literally was like, I need to go to therapy. Like I need to go and work with somebody. Well, my mom actually kind of, human design wise, it came to me, right? Like I respond, my mom was like, man, I feel like we all need therapy. And I was like, I need therapy. Like I actually need to do that. And so, which I should do a whole episode on that. Cause I feel like therapy in the, like, especially this EMDR that I'm doing, when you go into therapy and you don't think you're broken to begin with, it's like a whole, it's a whole experience. Like that is so powerful. But if you go in thinking that you're broken and like you have this desperation that I need to be fixed, I don't know that you get as much out of it. But anyway, all of that to say that it was that trip after that session with you that tailspun me into finding this therapist who I'm in love with down here in South Carolina and starting to unpack so much, not just like it's been generational. We did a whole life review. Like it's been like my attachment map, like just this, this whole series of just so much learning. And this is what I mean by this gets to be so fun, because like until this moment, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that that had that, like the power that that session actually held. Was it everything? And maybe, maybe not. I don't care. But wow, like it allowed, and so many times those sessions, like whenever I do energy work with people, and I know the work that you do, they just bubble things to the surface so that you're, because you're finally ready to move through it in some way, shape, or form. And it makes it so apparent that you're like, oh, now, like you still have to do something with it, right? Like I think so many people, they're like, oh, I get this session and now I'm clear. And I'm like, again, I'd make a lot more money if that was the case. You still have to take action. You still have to do something with the information that came up. But once you're aware of it, now we get to have some fun and move through it. And it's been a very challenging and exciting and fun experience. But the really fun thing for me in this moment is like, oh my God, that was the catalyst. Like it literally was the catalyst of me doing all of this healing.
Oh, I love that.
What a testimonial that is.
Indeed. Thanks, Stacey. I'll send you a check.
You already did. No. So, okay. So I want to finish this up. I want to honor your time. And it's been so fun just talking about this with you and just everything that's spun up. So my final question for you is, before you kind of tell everybody where they can find you and how to get in touch with you, which Bethany is actually a sponsor of the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. So you will hear that in future episodes. So you can always grab onto that as well. But what is one life lesson that you feel like you are in the middle of learning or choosing to evolve through right now?
Oh boy. So I feel like I am unwinding some past life trauma right now, particularly when it comes to allowing myself to be seen in a world that is energetically very different than the belief system, especially of the family that I married into. So I think that there's some past life connections there. And I think that there's some things that, you know, as I kind of step more into earth wisdom, and my own spiritual understanding and out of like an organized spiritual religious space, and allow myself to be seen more in that capacity, there's some discomfort, I think I'm comfortable with who I am in this space. I think there's some discomfort, with, you know, family members and just how that interaction comes to play. So really kind of leaning in, working through that right now. Yeah.
I've been there. I am probably still there. And, we have a lot of actually, synergies on that. So we can definitely talk offline about our experiences. It would be interesting and maybe even come back on the podcast and talk about that specific experience, because I think it's something that a lot of people are going through and or have been through, or are going to go through, because there is a big shift kind of happening. And it could be a really powerful thing to just hear about our personal experience and how we're moving through some of those discomforts, not necessarily within ourselves, but the discomfort that we bring up in other people and how we can compassionately and gracefully walk that. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. All right, Bethany, where can people find you? How do they connect with you? And anything else you want to share with the audience before we close up shop here?
Yes. So people can find me at sacredsageunleashed.com. That's my website.
And we will put it in the show notes too.
Perfect. Yes. So when you go there, there is a pop-up that gives you the opportunity to sign up for my newsletter. I send out two newsletters a month, one with the full moon, one with the new moon. It's a little bit of like what's going on in the energy field, a little bit of ancestral, that sort of thing. And there's also a free gift there, and it's a guide to setting up ancestral altars. And really how simple and easy it can be, and how it can kind of like, you know, what the options are, how you can really tailor it to your own and make it, you know, what you want it to be. I am on Instagram. That's really the only social place that I hang out. So it's Sacred Sage Unleashed on Instagram is where you can find me. Feel free to DM me, feel free to reach out. There's a place where you can email me right on the website. Love to hear questions, comments, just all the things.
Oh, okay. I love it. It's so funny. When you talk about the altar, immediately I have this crystal, this quartz skull that is like my it's my connection to both like Mary Magdalene and like the, and my ancestors. And sometimes like in meditation, I just hold it and I'm like, help me. I need you right now. Like I'm going through some shit. And it just reminded me of that. Cause it does sit on my altar. And so, but some days I'm like, come here.
Like, that's so funny because so that's your ancestor altar stone. And my ancestors came to me probably about a year ago and said, listen, you need to do ancestor altar stones. And it's basically a meditation stone for when people sit down and commune with the ancestors. And I can actually channel that for people and help them to pick out the right stone to. Yes. So that's a session. That is a session that is offered on my site. Check it out. There's Meet the Ancestors. We're actually guide people through an ancestor that would be right to work with. I can channel an ancestor altar stone, and then we can go into some heavy, deep, like ancestral healing. So
amazing. Yeah. So anybody who is listening, who even has a tiny, like there is just a little spark of like, ooh, that sounds really interesting. Make sure you reach out to Bethany. She is one of the kindest humans I know. She will have a conversation with you, make sure that it's right for you, like answer your questions, and just give it a chance. Like you just never, like it's not going to hurt. This is what I can promise you. Like it is not going to hurt or harm you nor anybody else. And so like, give it a chance and you like watch the magic unfold. Like I literally just did on this episode, sitting here talking to Bethany. So Bethany, thank you so much for being on the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm just so grateful that you spent this time with us. And I know that the audience is going to get so much fun stuff out of this conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me, Stacey. This has been fantastic.
Huge thank you to Bethany for being on the show and sharing her experience and her wisdom with us. It was so fun. And now for everybody that tuned in and you're waiting for this announcement, I'm excited to introduce you to Doors of Destiny. It is Healing Through Ancient Wisdom. So this is a 7-part meditation experience created by Bethany, and the Evolve Beyond Limits family gets access to it before anyone else. This 7-part series is designed to take you on a journey of discovery, healing, and activation through connecting with your ancestral lineage. You are not going to want to miss out on this opportunity, and you can find it right in Patreon. So head over if you haven't yet, make sure that you sign up to be part of the Evolve Beyond Limits family to get all the updates on everything, live Q&A sessions, special content, things that I might be going through that I'm not going to be putting here on the podcast, but you will be able to find it on Patreon. So you can go over there. If you are a member, great. We love to have you, but even if you're not, you can still get access to this through the shop page. So we will make sure that we link it up in the show notes for easy access. But again, get your hands on this. It is an amazing experience, and you are going to learn so much about yourself, your family. And if you listen to the episode, and I will say that even since recording this episode, there has been so much healing within my own family through the healing that I have been doing. And so this work is powerful, it's potent, and I cannot wait for everyone to experience it. So head on over to Patreon, get your hands on this exclusive offer, and until next time, stay curious.